When I call this meeting to order, this is a meeting of the Local Agency Formation Commission for Los Angeles County. Today is April 13th, 2022. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Every once in a while, I get the pleasure of introducing a new commissioner. Today, the new commissioner is Anthony Bell. So the he's our newest member. He is the alternate member from the San Fernando Valley. Hold on a second. Sorry about that. Mr. Bell is a public affairs and governmental relations consultant who lives in Studio City. He previously served as the Assistant Chief Deputy and Communications Director for the last two Los Angeles County Supervisors in the 5th District, Catherine Barger. Don't tell her, Tony, I said. Catherine Barger and Mike Antonovich. He's a graduate of USC, where he majored in political science. On behalf of my colleagues, I'd like to introduce and welcome Anthony Bell, the new commissioner. Welcome you, Tony, to this commission. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Happy to be here.
I really wanted to introduce you when I first saw you there, but I thought, well, okay.
Everyone. Thanks so much.
So at this point, I'm going to turn over to Paul. So anyhow, before I forget, Tony, I'm glad you're with us. Okay, and congratulations.
Thank you, sir.
Good morning. Item 3 on your agenda is disclosure of campaign contributions. If any commissioner has received a campaign contribution that would require disclosure and recusal from an item on today's agenda, please make it known at this time, stating the name of the donor, the amount, and the date of the contribution. Seeing none, and before we proceed to item 4, I have a few announcements. Today's meeting is being conducted in a virtual teleconference format consistent with Government Code Section 54953. All public hearing notices and the agenda clearly stated that interested persons were afforded the opportunity to submit written comments by email or via United States mail. Any communications received after the agenda is posted are forwarded to the commissioners via email. We also monitor the LAFCO email, which is info@lalafco.org, throughout today's meeting. And any written comments received prior to the conclusion of the time for public testimony will be read or summarized by staff. Instructions on how to participate by phone or web were provided on page 1 of the agenda. In conformance with state law, the agenda was posted to the LAFCO website and was also posted at the LA County Hall of Administration on Tuesday, April 5th. LAFCO's attorneys have reviewed the public hearing agenda and all notices, and they have affirmed that the conduct of today's meeting is consistent with state law. For all agenda items requiring a vote, Commission Clerk Adriana Flores will call the roll. When a commissioner makes or seconds a motion, please do so and then state your last name so that we may record it in the minutes. Item 4 will be the swearing in of speakers. Let me just consult with staff. Doug, is there any member of the public who has accessed the meeting?
Dear, just cut on. Can you hear me? Hello?
Yes, Commissioner Deer, did you just join?
Yeah, I couldn't get it on the computer. I didn't have any connection to it, so I'm on the phone now.
Okay. Adriana Flores, just note in the roll call, you will have, since Commissioner Deer is here, you will call him in the roll, please.
Okay, it's noted. Thank you.
Thank you.
And then, Doug, is there any member of the public who has called in?
Is Sorry, well, there's no members of the public online.
Okay. With that, Mr. Chair, with your consent, I would suggest that we skip item 4, which is the swearing in of speakers, item 5, which is public comment.
Yes, go ahead to item 6, Paul.
Thank you. Item 6, your item 6 is the consent agenda, identified as items 6A through 6J. There are 9 substantive items on the consent agenda. Staff recommendations that the commission adopt one motion approving the consent agenda.
I move. This is Don Deere. I move it.
McCallum, second.
Is there any questions or discussion? Okay, Adriana, will you call roll, please?
Commissioner Brogan Fowley?
Yes.
Commissioner Finley?
Yes.
Commissioner Lee?
Yes.
Commissioner Deere?
Yes.
Commissioner McCallum?
Yes.
Commissioner Marish?
Yes.
Commissioner Mitchell?
Yes.
Chair Gladbach?
Yes. Motion carried. Thank you, Adriana.
Item 7A is the proposed final budget for fiscal year 2022-23. Staff is recommending that the commission adopt a final budget for fiscal year 2022-23. The final budget is shown on your screen. You conducted the first required public hearing at your March meeting, and today is the second public hearing as required by law. After your first public hearing last month, and consistent with state law, your staff transmitted a copy of the draft budget to the County of Los Angeles, the cities in Los Angeles County, and the independent special districts in Los Angeles County. We received one telephonic inquiry from a city representative, and we were able to answer all of her questions to the satisfaction of the inquiring party. Staff recommends the commission open the public hearing, receive comments, and close the public hearing. Approve the recommended final budget for fiscal year 2022-23 and direct the executive officer to transmit the adopted final budget as required by law.
Okay, thank you, Paul. At this point, I'll open the public hearing. Anyone wishing to comment, please make known. Is there any member of the public on, Doug?
There is not.
Okay, I'll close the public hearing. What's the pleasure of the commission?
Move approval. Finley?
Deere seconds.
Are there any discussion or questions? Okay, roll call, Adriana, please.
Commissioner Brogan Fowley?
Yes.
Commissioner Finley?
Yes.
Commissioner Lee?
Yes.
Commissioner Deere?
Yes.
Commissioner McCallum?
Yes.
Commissioner Marish?
Yes.
Commissioner Mitchell?
Yes.
Chair Gladbach?
Yes, motion carried. Thank you.
Your next item, Mr. Chair, is item 9A. This is adoption of a resolution authorizing remote teleconference meetings of the commission pursuant to Government Code Section 54953E and making the required findings. This is the resolution that would be required to conduct today's meeting as well as your May 11th meeting by teleconference as allowed by law. Staff is recommending At this point in time, staff is recommending that your meeting in May be conducted in a virtual format, given the following factors. The Los Angeles County Board of Supervisors just held its first meeting with all 5 supervisors present, but it was not available to in-person participation by the general public. Were you to consider an in-person hearing for next month, the Board of Supervisors hearing room is not available to LAFCO on Wednesday, May 11th. The board will be conducting its budget meetings that morning at 9:30. We have, as a backup, reserved room 374A, which is the Business License Commission hearing room, for the morning of Wednesday, May 11th. I would note a concern that that dais is relatively small. It's set up for 5 to 6 commissioners, and we would have to place 9 voting members on that dais. As a courtesy to the county, staff would prefer that the commission defer its return to full in-person meetings until the county board resumes its in-person meetings with the public present. I would also note that at least one prior commissioner will be out of town for the May 11th meeting, but that commissioner would be able to participate in a virtual meeting. In prior years, when we've had this conflict between your commission meeting in May and the Board of Supervisors budget meetings, you have considered moving that meeting time to 8:30 instead of 9, and doing so would allow your 2 county supervisors, Supervisors Catherine Barger and Holly Mitchell, to attend both meetings. With that, again, this is a decision for the commission to make, We would ask that you deliberate and direct your staff accordingly. And if there are any changes that need to be made to the resolution, we will make those as well.
Thank you, Paul. What's the thoughts of the commissioners?
Gary?
Yes.
So I think we should move the meeting to 8:30 to allow the supervisors to attend. I think it's fine. I think beyond that, we should be looking at, as we're doing in our city as well, looking at moving forward, assuming it's allowed, a hybrid model going forward. We've had 2 years of pandemic. It hasn't been our choice. Certain things seem to work. There's a proof of concept, and having a hybrid model allows for more participation from both the commission members and the public, and that should be an option going forward. But for May, because of what Paul mentioned, I think that we should do it virtually, and we should move it up to allow our supervisor colleagues to attend.
I agree. This is Don Deere. I agree. I make that as a motion.
I'll second it then.
Okay, I will not be attending. I'll be out of town. So,
but since it's virtual, Jerry, you could.
Well, you're going to meet in person.
No,
virtual.
Oh, I missed
for next meeting.
Oh, okay.
And in fact, I'm saying that all meetings going forward should be hybrid. So even going forward, you could be in St. Louis and still conduct the meeting. And I think that's great.
Okay. All right. Thanks for the clarification, John. Okay, good. So any other comments, questions? Okay, roll. Supervisor Mitchell, looks like you were going to ask a question. No? Okay.
Oh, sir, I appreciate the consideration, and I'll be voting in support of the motion.
Okay, thank you. Okay, roll call, Adriana.
Commissioner Brogan Fowley.
Yes.
Commissioner Finley.
Yes.
Commissioner Lee.
Yes.
Commissioner Deere.
Yes.
Commissioner McCallum.
Yes.
Commissioner Marish.
Yes.
Commissioner Mitchell.
Yes.
Chair Gladbeck.
Yes. Motion carried. Okay.
Item 9B is a proposed telecommuting program. Since the onset of the COVID-19 pandemic in March of 2019, LAFCO has implemented, March of 2020, LAFCO has implemented several scheduling options for staff. Initially, there was a complete office closure. Due to the imminent threats to health and safety, management directed all employees to work from home and telecommute on a full-time basis. And this was in effect from March of 2020 until April of 2021. The next phase involved a limited office reopening. This was pursuant to the governor's orders to reopen public buildings. LAFCO reopened the office with limited staffing of 1 to 2 employees per day on an established schedule in shifts. This was in effect from April of 2021 until December of 2021. Lately, we have implemented a hybrid schedule in which management has allowed employees to telecommute, working up to 50% of their time assigned work hours remotely, consistent with an agreed upon schedule, which has been in effect since January of this year. During this entire period, and I want to emphasize very strongly, that we have worked diligently to remain responsive to stakeholders, including elected officials, public agency staff, landowners, developers, and most importantly, the general public. And we have maintained the same level of productivity while employees are working a hybrid schedule. Staff is requesting commission approval to implement a permanent hybrid staffing schedule contingent upon several requirements. These would include: any employee who requests a telecommute working would be required to sign an agreement acknowledging and accepting the following: a written acknowledgement by the employee that telecommuting is a voluntary arrangement, one which is considered a privilege and one which is not a right of employment with LAFCO. The EO and deputy EO may authorize telecommuting on a regular or situational basis. Requests to telecommute require the advance written approval of both the EO and the deputy EO. Under normal circumstances, telecommuting would not exceed 50% or 20 hours of an employee's total of 40 hours of work per week, and that management may revoke the remote working privilege if an employee is not fulfilling his or her work obligations, subject to advance warning and reasonable notice. The employee would be required to work in the office during his or her established telecommute time if the needs of the job necessitate doing so, i.e. for the scheduling of a particular meeting. Employees authorized to telecommute would maintain a regular work schedule determined in advance and in writing. Telecommuting employees shall be accessible to management and coworkers by telephone, email, and text during regular work hours. Telecommuting employees shall secure information by taking reasonable steps to safeguard information. And management is responsible for ensuring that employees working remotely remain productive in performing their assigned duties and tasks. It is important to note that it is substantially easier for LAFCO to manage telecommuting employees given the small size of our workforce. Telecommuting would enhance our ability to recruit and retain employees, provide greater flexibility for employees, improve morale and job satisfaction, and reduce employee absenteeism. As noted in your staff report, Forbes magazine documented two additional benefits of telecommuting, which are a reduction in absenteeism and employees using their time more productively if they work from home part of the time. Finally, staff notes that the hybrid schedule represents a more environmentally friendly approach, one which would aid ongoing public efforts to reduce fossil fuel consumption, traffic congestion, and associated greenhouse gas emissions. Staff recommends that the Commission authorize the Executive Officer and Deputy Executive Officer to implement a telecommuting program consistent with the parameters defined in the staff report. And that concludes my staff report.
Thank you, Paul. John?
So as I mentioned before, I think that we have, all experienced proof of concept of remote work. And I would endorse this enthusiastically. I think we're being even a little bit too conservative, if you will, calling it a privilege as opposed to a right. I think that all of us, we're a regional organization. And when I see that there are regional organizations, for example, in so-called progressive Bay Area that are rejecting remote work, you have to question what's going on there. There are entrenched interests of existing property owners and incumbent office space holders. This is only a good thing. It's a good thing in so many ways. And I just want to leave you with a brief anecdote that I experienced last week. I met with someone who happens to be a friend who's an executive at a LA-based big tech company. And they, of course, of all people, they did a study about how much time would you actually have needed to be in person to check off all of the boxes of all of the things that they need in their company to encourage innovation, to be productive, and all of that. They came to the conclusion after doing this exhaustive study that only out of 2 months, really, did you need to be together a day and a half a month. That aside from that, everything else could be done using remote work. And so from my perspective, this indicates a couple of things. That one, we as a society, and we can be a model, should be promoting and encouraging remote work by trying to expand broadband networks and to ensure that everyone throughout the state and country has access to broadband. And so it has the ability to commute remotely or to be able to do things remotely. That's one. And two, that there will be times where we need together. And that's where certain things like seminars, or maybe even monthly or bi-monthly meetings in person can, for example, for corporations or companies or for businesses or organizations like ours, can provide that necessary face time. It's a question of quality face time, not quantity, and we should embrace this fully. And I thank Paul for the initiative. I think this will improve the effectiveness of our organization, but also, just as importantly, improve things for all of our employees and maybe also make it easier when there are openings to attract talent. Talent is going to be the decider when it comes to this. We're naive if we think that even big corporations like Google can say, who are Luddites, by the way, you're going back to work. And when people have a choice, including the talent, they will vote with their feet. My contact in big tech here made that very clear. And so I think we're actually leading the way with this. And I would, if I need to make a motion, I will make the motion now. Thank you.
Why don't you do that, John?
I'm so moved. Thank you.
I have a comment. I'd like to make a comment.
Go ahead.
I'm completely opposed to this. I have our experience in the development world is that it's completely opposite to that. Most firms are finding out that the productivity is different, but it's not quite the same. The camaraderie, the sort of team efforts that happen within the office environment has changed quite a bit. And productivity is different. It's not quite the same, especially with creativity going forward. The other thing is that we've just spent money public money on office space going forward. The public should have access to us at all times. We don't lead, we serve. And I completely, viscerally disapprove this notion of actually going to this full time. So as the public member, I do not think this is a wise idea. I think this will be politically fraught in the future, and this is not the time to do this. Thank you.
Paul, would you like to make a comment on public access, any full-time?
The only comment I would make, and I do respect Commissioner McCallum's comments and honor those comments, I would point out that we have kept the office open for the same hours that it was prior to all of the COVID situation occurring. There is always staff here available to the public. We joke about many members of the public having our cell phone numbers and being able to text us and reach us. I don't think there has been any diminution in our productivity. I do agree with Commissioner McCallum that I think people work differently. I've heard comments, you know, one of our staff members said, you know, to some degree, when I really have to focus something, sometimes I find that is easier to do remotely because I'm not as interrupted as I am in the office sometimes with people coming in and asking questions. But I would say we have not heard any complaints. We have done everything we can to be responsive. I have been pleasantly surprised by our employees, all of whom I think have been very diligent responding both to the public and frankly to me, because I'm one of those people who, when I want something, I want the answer now. And so if I text or call or email, I've not had any issues getting that information, nor do I think the public has.
Paul, are you saying under the current and the scenario you're proposing that the office hours, there will be someone there and that there will be no reduced access to the public should someone, which I'm sure it happens all the time, that people drive to Pasadena and say, I want to go talk to LAFCO staff. I'm sure that does happen. So will there be always someone there so that they can greet them and we can talk, you know, that you can have a robust discussion about such things as spheres of influence and whatnot?
Yes, and at any given time, there are typically at least 3 or 4 employees here from that time period of, when we're in the office, it tends to be a 10-hour day, so we're generally here early and later, but the official open door hours for the office are 9 to 5. There's always somebody here who can answer the door and greet the public, answer questions, meet with the public as well.
Can I ask you if you've heard from staff what the impact is on those who have families, children, and that sort of thing? Has it been negative or has it been positive?
It has been positive. In the longer term, I do have a concern about attracting and retaining employees. I mean, I don't think it's been a tremendous issue. I think in the longer term it would be, but I do think the program has been is popular with employees. Let me put it that way.
Jerry?
Yeah.
David Lester from the Cheap Sheet.
Sure.
I observe that as an attorney pre-pandemic, I advised the company on setting up a remote telecom program. Obviously, the criteria pre-pandemic was very different, but I carefully reviewed the criteria that was set forth in the staff report. And what I observed is the key elements are there. This is a privilege, not a right. It's subject to the executive director and the deputy director to make these decisions as to how to run the office effectively and efficiently for the benefit of the public. And my assumption is it will be rolled out in different phases to ensure the successful operation of the company. But I just simply would observe that the criteria are there to rein it in should it not be effective.
With that being said, if I could comment, why are we doing this now? We might possibly have a second wave coming with this BA2. Why are we doing this now? Shouldn't we wait to see exactly what the other public agencies are due and follow the lead of the other public agencies? There's no sense of urgency for this to be actually taken now.
Well, the Santa Clarita Valley Water Agency has adopted such a similar program recently for the employees that work in the office. Obviously, those that work in the field got to work in the field. You can't do you can't repair pipes from home. So,
Mr. Sheriff,
found a way to do. Go ahead.
If I may, I would just comment that this program was adopted by, a similar program was approved by San Diego LAFCO. We've been in conversations. The county CEO has been kind enough to include us, myself and Adriana Romo, in some of their all hands departmental staff meetings about COVID and remote and hybrid work. Their direction to county department heads was to use hybrid or telecommuting schedules for employees as they saw fit. Many county departments are still working either in a hybrid or primarily remotely. My understanding from Councilman Lee's office is the city has kind of provided the same direction to their department heads. So I don't think we are an exception or out of the out of kind of what is happening at other public agencies.
Other comments?
This is Mr. Dear. I have to go to a special board meeting, so I'd like to call for the question on this item.
I don't have a second yet, Don.
Oh, I'll second it then.
I seconded it.
Oh, she seconded it.
Okay. Let Mel have a question, comment first. Mel?
Sure.
I just, although I won't be voting, I just wanted to say I enthusiastically support the recommendation. My experience during this period is that certain employees can be even more productive with a hybrid approach. And so I just want to let you know that I support the staff recommendation.
And it looked like Supervisor had your question. I had your hand up for a question, Supervisor Mitchell.
I was just going to comment that I think, quite frankly, everybody's right and has a perspective. I think it varies sector by sector. And as staff reported, our CEO really is empowering our department heads based on the nature of the work. You know, there are some county departments that, you know, never got to work safe from home, if you will. They stayed in the field. And so she has empowered the department heads to determine what's best for the nature of their work and what their experience has been the last 2 years. I would support the staff notion, recognizing that there will be at all times someone in the office in the chance that a member of the public happens to show up. As long as there is someone there, I guess I would ask the question. I vaguely remember conversations about office lease negotiations, and I don't know if we're able to downsize or if that's a longer term conversation, but if this is going to be kind of our modus operandi, we should figure out how we save money in the long run if we're not going to have full staff in offices full time.
Paul, you want to comment on that?
Yes, and I want to thank the members of the Ad Hoc Lease Commission committee, which were Chair Gladback, Vice Chair Deer, and Second Vice Chair McCallum. And given that, given the question of office staffing needs long term, they directed, and our lease does have a provision. While it is a full lease for 5 years, there is a provision at year three that would allow LAFCO to get out of the lease and potentially, you know, relocate, either downsize here in the building or relocate to another location. And I think seeing how this goes forward over the next couple of years, that might be an alternative where if you have people who are on opposite days, you could team up. I would note it was either Supervisor Mitchell, your office, or Supervisor Hahn's office where there were two employees who worked opposite schedules. One of the deputies said, I share an office with someone and I haven't seen her in 6 months because I'm here Monday, Wednesday, Friday. She's here Tuesday, Thursday. So I think those are options we would definitely want to look at in the longer term to see if we could get by with less office space, which would in the longer term save money for LAFCO.
Okay, the question's been called for. Adriana, would you do roll call, please?
Sure. Just one question, Paul. Has Commissioner Deer left?
No, I'm still here. I'm gonna leave after I vote here.
Okay. All right. Just making sure. Commissioner Brogan Fowley.
Yes.
Commissioner Finley.
Yes, and I have to leave right after this too. So thank you.
Okay.
Commissioner Lee.
Yes.
Commissioner Deer.
Yes.
Commissioner McCallum.
Strong no, and I do have to leave as well.
Commissioner Marish?
Yes.
Commissioner Mitchell?
Yes.
Chair Gladback?
Yes. Motion carried. Okay, thank you, Paul.
Before we move on to your next item, I just want to alert staff that with Commissioner Finley, Deer, and McCallum leaving, That means that Commissioner Davitt will vote in place of Commissioner Finley. Commissioner Matthews would vote in place of Commissioner Deer. And Commissioner Lesser would vote in place of Commissioner McCallum. So I'll go through that again, Adriana, when we get to a roll call vote. Your next item is 10A, which is the legislative update. The staff report discusses five bills which may be of interest to the commission. Staff recommends the commission receive and file the legislative update.
Are there any questions of Paul? Not hearing any, do I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Brogan.
Second, Matthews.
Any discussion? Okay, Adriana, would you do roll call, please?
Commissioner Brogan Fowling?
Yes.
Commissioner Davitt?
Yes.
Commissioner Lee?
Yes.
Commissioner Matthews?
Yes.
Commissioner McCallum? I'm sorry, he left. Commissioner Lesser?
Yes.
Commissioner Marish?
Yes.
Commissioner Mitchell?
Yes.
Chair Gladden?
Yes, motion carried. Thank you, Adriana. Okay, next item, Paul. Okay, next item is, does any commissioner have a report on a meeting you've attended on behalf of LAFCO? Not hearing any. Back to you, Paul, for your report.
We've provided you under the executive officer's report with a brief written report. I have a couple additional items to mention verbally. As noted in your written report, we are pleased to report that the Point Doom Community Services District has submitted a proposal to activate latent powers. That was submitted last Wednesday. We are hoping to agendize that for your June or July meeting. I'm also pleased on behalf of the entire staff to welcome Taylor Morris, our new GIS technician, who began work here on Monday. He recently relocated to Los Angeles after working for nearly 6 years in the right-of-way section for the Utah Department of Transportation. And Taylor holds a Bachelor of Science in Geography and Environmental and Sustainability Studies from the University of Utah. And finally, I would like to acknowledge the extraordinary effort by your staff, in particular LAFCO analyst Amber De La Torre and Deputy Executive Officer Adriana Romo. They prepared and finalized the staff reports for the 6 sanitation district proposals which were on today's agenda. And with that, I would recommend that you receive and file the written and verbal report of the executive officer.
And on behalf of the commission, I think we give you all those staff members a big thank you. Okay. Is there any comments or questions of Paul? Can I get a motion to approve?
So moved, Mirish. Lesser.
Second, Mirish.
Hey, you're reactive today, Dave. You got a chance. Any discussion? Okay, roll call, Adriana.
Commissioner Brian Fowling. Commissioner Davitt?
Yes.
Commissioner Lee?
Yes.
Commissioner Matthews?
Yes.
Commissioner Lesser?
Yes.
Commissioner Marish?
Yes.
Commissioner Mitchell?
Yes.
Chair Gladback?
Yes. Motion carried. Thank you.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead, Paul.
Item 14 is public comment. Doug, is there anyone, a member of the public on the call?
There is a member of the public. I have unmuted their mic.
If there is a member of the public who would like to speak under public comment, now would be the time to do so. Okay. With that, I will turn it back to you, Mr. Chair.
Okay. The next future meetings are May 11, June 8, and July 13. And again, like to welcome Tony Bell to our commission. And forgive me, Paul, I forgot the name. I didn't write it down of your new GIS person.
Taylor Morris is our
Taylor, new GIS yeah. person. And welcome, Taylor. So with that, I declare this meeting adjourned. And John, where are you?
Over by 3 minutes.
Well, if I wouldn't have waited so long to start, we'd have been right on.
Excellent. Take care, everybody.
Well done.
Both of you, John always plays a game with me. So. Congratulations, everybody.
Thank you.
Have a good one.
Bye-bye.
Bye.